Here we go. Give me a count around, Joel.
3, 2, 1.
Rex Show! Rex Show here! Rex Show!
That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Bingo! Showtime!
Were you making it cool young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's back. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the strong link will be back to DLNGS.org. And IRC challenge the Linux Tech.net. Found Tech Show. Just sit right there, because the challenge is about to begin.
Welcome to episode 943 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going, boys?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Hello, hello.
And you have a new Dell.
Yeah, Dell XPS 13 9360 that does not power on. I don't have a lot of details on it. It's the i5 7th gen model. So... yeah, it didn't come with the power supply, but it does have USB-C, so I have it hooked up to my power station, which is outputting 20 volts, but it's 0 amps right now, so I don't know if it's just really slowly charging because the battery's completely dead, or if the battery is crap, or if the CMOS battery is bad, or if there's actually something wrong with the charging circuit. And I haven't taken it apart yet, but like I said, it's saying it's outputting 20 volts. So even at 0 amps, that might just be like, you know, a really slow charge.
Wait, what's outputting? The battery is, you said?
No, my power supply. My power supply has a nice little display on it that lets me know how much power is being used, and currently it's 20 volts at 0 amps. And for a while there, it said 5.1 volts at 0 amps. So, it's doing something.
So you haven't taken it apart yet, though, so...
I literally pulled up to the house at 7:35, and it is now 7:41. So I got home, I logged into the show, and I sat down with his laptop.
And there and you're going to disassemble it on the show now and get...
Thinking about disassembling it right this second. I just got to find my... toolkit and clear a space for myself.
Now, have you gotten to the point where you need to wear glasses or
I've been wearing glasses since I was 11.
No, I mean,
a magnifying glass on my table.
But I mean, do you need to? Because like, if I'm taking apart a laptop or anything that has small stuff in it, I have to take out my contact lenses because I have a hard time seeing, or else I have to wear my wife's reader glasses to see it good. Because I've gotten that age.
I'm not quite there yet. I mean, like I said, I've been wearing glasses for a super long time now, but I don't need bifocals yet. And when I'm soldering, you know, sometimes it's difficult to see, but, you know, I kind of know where everything is anyway, and I can do it blind.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome. Well, I looked forward to hearing some of the work you're doing there. Joel, you were going to tell us something about you. You got a new phone coming tomorrow.
Yep, I ordered, yesterday a Google Pixel 6 Pro 512 gig storage. It has 12 gigs of RAM on the phone. We'll see how it goes. My dad has one. I heard my sister-in-law has one too now. So, and then I have quite a few friends. There've been some reports of, I thought you were my friend. Anyway.
I am. I didn't know you had me in person though.
But
online
everyone
friends don't count.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to likes it, but there have been some people that reported some issues with it. Namely, it will constantly ratchet back and forth between the 120 hertz and 60 hertz, but I'm likely not to notice something like that, you know, because I do have bifocals. I'm on my third pair of them, so, you know, but third or fourth now, I don't remember. I didn't need glasses up until recently. I did have some when I was younger, but, you know, but as far as the phone goes, I don't really have too much of a problem seeing phones, except for, like, when I have my glasses off. When I have my glasses off, seeing the screen, I can generally navigate it with my glasses off, but if I need to actually read something on it with my glasses off, there's no way. But so we'll see. I've got the phone, one of their cases, because Google made some cases for them too, and they're actually reasonably cost. Like the case itself is like $20. And I also ordered, since it doesn't come with a charger, which is...
Wait, the case is $20?
Yeah, the case is $20, yeah.
And?
Which, the charger is, I think, about 30.
Oh, you have to buy 30. A charger to go...
Yeah, any of the Samsung line that we talked about last week, and then the Google phones, and even iPhones now, don't come with chargers anymore.
See, my Pixel came with a charger. My 4A.
Yeah, it's an older phone, though. So,
well, it ain't that old.
No, that, well, it is in the grand scheme of things, but yeah. But
so, wait, how much was the phone? 5,000?
No, it wasn't that much. It's about 1,000.
And then, you know, for $1,000, they couldn't throw in the charger.
Yeah, I know. Well, especially since the new charger will charge it like I think it's 50% or 60% in like a half an hour. I mean, yeah, it charges it really fast. It's a 30-watt charger, so.
But again, $1,000, they could throw in the charger.
Yep.
Like.
Oh. Now, the one thing I'm wondering with it will be the Pixel 6 Pro has a pretty large camera hump. So I'm wondering if when I put the case on it, if it'll lay on. I have my car came with, I didn't buy it because of that, but it came with one of those Qi charging pads. It's usually where I put it when I'm driving. And I'm wondering if how that hump will affect me getting getting wireless charging for my phone. But I guess it doesn't really matter too much because there is a USB port in front, so I can just get a USB to C cable and it'll charge it slow, but it'll charge.
Wait,
it.
Does the Pixel 5 do? It is a Pixel 5,
Pixel
right?
Pixel 6. Bro.
Does it do wireless charging?
It does.
It does. And your car is set up for wireless charging.
Yep. One built right into it.
But you work from home, so you're not really going anywhere.
I go places. Not often, but I go places. It's like when I went to court today, I actually had to put on something that had long legs on it. I wore a pair of jeans to the court. But
so where's your phone come?
It should arrive here tomorrow via FedEx. And I'm also trading in. And here's the thing, it kind of annoys me a little bit. I am trading my old phone in, so I get like 30 days to send it back to them, the old phone.
You're just going to transfer all your stuff over from your existing phone onto your new one?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that's going to be probably the biggest hassle is doing that, especially all the I have like 4 or 5 sites listed in Google Authenticator. Amazon and a couple others.
You know what? So when I did it from my old phone to the Pixel 4a, It was right. There was no problem whatsoever. It just transferred over.
Yeah,
and kept
I expect
going.
It won't be.
It was
yeah,
so.
I suspect it won't be. Yeah.
Not a problem.
But now it has the Tensor chip. That's the Google's custom silicon for the CPU. It's based on ARM, of course. So we'll see how that works.
Wait, you're but gonna have already... that feature in what was that feature in
Magic Eraser?
Yeah, you're gonna have Magic Eraser now.
Yep.
That's
yep.
Nice.
I wanna have to test that by going someplace where there's people. but we'll see how it works. But well, of course, then to see the other two things I'll have to transfer over is my Wise Watch, and I think I'll probably transfer my I have a Michael Kors Wear OS watch. It's an older version of Wear OS. It won't go any higher than that. I don't know if I'm ever gonna buy another Wear OS watch again unless they get better battery life. But
wait, how many watches do you have?
Just two.
Do you trade them on and off, or do you just not? I mean,
if I'm going, like, for example, if I'm going someplace like where I'm dressing up, like putting a suit on, I'll put my Michael Kors on because it's nice and metal and shiny. Whereas my Wise watch is got a plastic band, kind of Apple Watchy looking. It's not as dressy.
I haven't worn a watch in decades. I can't remember the last time I wore a watch. Do you wear a watch, Joel or Pat?
Yeah. I got my what is it? The Samsung Gear 3 Frontier
Gear 3.
Watch.
Right.
I got two of them.
You wear them at the same time? One on each wrist?
Yes. No, I wear them on the same wrist. One right above the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you do that thing where you slide them open and like you look like you're selling hot watches.
Yeah.
There we go.
No. I have the second one for when I really need to have the watch with me and
right.
One of the watches needs to charge.
Right. I've been
so
known
it
to
doesn't
do that
get
as...
used that often.
Right.
What's the situation that you have to have a watch with you?
If I'm tracking, like, a bike ride or something.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, or steps, in my case. When I rode the bus, I much preferred looking at my watch for times versus pulling my phone out, especially this time of year when it's cold, you know. Although it's going to be 60 degrees here tomorrow, and all the snow and ice is melting makes me happy. But I digress. That's the reason I started wearing them again. I wasn't for a little while, but then I got like a Fitbit and a couple other things. A Fitbit, actually still had the Fitbit, but I probably don't have the charge cable for it anymore. And it's beat to hell too. So I don't even know how well it would work, but now Google owns Fitbit now. I'm debating, well, rumor has it that Google may be working on a Pixel, Wear OS watch, and I'd like to get a chance. Like, if that came out and it was reasonably priced, I probably would get it just because I really want to see a pure Wear OS experience. Now, granted, Wear OS isn't near as bad as Android is with the custom skins and the shovelware and stuff that they put on the phones, but still, I'd like to see, you know, what design choices they're going to make if they can actually produce a watch that will last longer than a day. So that's actually another case where I'll wear my Wear OS watch every once in a while is my Wise watch, because it has such ridiculous battery life, takes a long time to charge. I can probably go 3 or 4 days without having to charge it. There's no way I'm doing that with a Wear OS watch at this moment in time. And even though those watches have sleep tracking, they're useless for sleep tracking because they'll be dead before I get through my sleep cycle.
Yeah. Well, the battery's not too hard to switch out on the Gear 3 Frontier. I've had to do that for both of my watches, and it looks like I'm probably going to have to do it again, probably for both of them again. The batteries just don't last that long.
Yeah. Well, they're what, rechargeable lithiums, right?
Yeah. But still, it's annoying. I think it's been about a year, and I'm going to have to replace.
I may be buying some other Wyze products at a point in the near future, too. Because I got an email from them for their outdoor cameras. They just introduced a solar panel. So I might look at that, for using those for the cameras pointing outside the house.
Now, I just have the one camera in the front, which is the doorbell, and then the one camera in the back, which is the floodlight. I should probably get one on the back door slash backyard, which would help me keep an eye on my son when he's back there.
Now the let's see. The Wyze Cam Outdoor Starter Bundle. This is in for, you know, Forest. I wonder if I have to get the Forest Camo skin or just the regular one. It looks like, well, I have to look and see, because the one I see on their page says with the Forest Camo skin by Dbrand or Dbrand or however you say it, but it's only $60. All right. And then the solar panel is $20. So it's like, well, yeah, I'd give that a chance to see how well it works. You know, it's that stuff, like what I went through with the court case today, that's making me think more and more about getting cameras like that pointing outside. Inside my house, I don't want them.
So tired of dealing with courts.
Yeah, you're not going to end, dude.
Oh, I'm aware. You're
for school board.
I am aware. All right, I got this back panel off. And yeah, I started the process of running for school board, but none of the banks want to allow you to get a essentially a political account. So it's been fun trying to set things up, and all the people that I'm working with don't know any more than I do. Which is fun. Where is my voltmeter? Should be right here. I was just using it. Ah, there it is. All right. Back of this is off. Battery is completely disconnected, as is the CMOS. This is one of the fixes that I was told to try out in my searches online. Remove both batteries. Hold down the button for 20 or 30 seconds. And then rehook the CMOS and the main battery and see what happens.
Yep, we'll see.
All right, go ahead without me for a minute while I do this. If you hear an explosion, don't worry, it was just me.
Now, I did send another article via email, Dan. I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, but I'll go ahead and cover that.
Oh, I'm talking. I'm not even... Yeah, the one with the driver's license?
Yep. Google is... They're making an API or something for storing driver's licenses on your phone. Now, tell me that you think that's a bad idea. I do.
Yeah. Why do you think it's a bad idea?
I think my big thing here is, first, I'm not going to unlock my phone and hand it to a police officer if I get pulled over.
For that one. Makes sense.
Yeah, because if the phone's unlocked and he's got that in his hand looking at that, then what else can he look at on there?
Well, I don't know what you have in your phone.
I don't have anything incriminating on my phone.
No, you have a good point there. You do have a good point there.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I wonder. Hold on a second. No. I should. I just want to look at
something. In the article, it says the TSA plans to begin recognizing mobile driver's licenses as valid IDs for domestic travel soon, and at least 30 states have already issued or plan to issue them.
To get them?
Oh, I'm here. I just stopped talking.
See, here's the thing. Like, I guess if it was possible, and I thought Google Pay might do this, but it doesn't. Like, from the phone's lock screen, you can click on Google Pay, and it will allow you to make a payment if you unlock it. I thought that would just be.
Your phone has to be entirely unlocked for it in order to tap to pay.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought that maybe, and I because I had never tested it because I'll just bring it up, and when I go to unlock the pay, I thought maybe it would just unlock it for Google Pay, and then that's it. I could see. If you were going to have to hand over your driver's license to only display the driver's license, unlock it for displaying the driver's license, or, then maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could see the other side. Or that's exactly another case, what you're saying.
I was going to say another case was
gotta love it.
I belong to a credit union, and I went to the credit union to get money out so they can deposit in my normal bank account. Well, the credit union wants to see my driver's license, so I always go through the drive-thru, so I stick that in a little thing so it goes over the pneumatic tube. It's like, I'm not going to do that with my phone. That's a dumb idea.
When I purchased this, you know, like an hour ago, it was implied that, you know, it hadn't been opened and worked on. But then I open it up, and you know, I see the... SSD is removed. The WLAN is removed. Obviously, this has been taken apart and worked on, because I'm sure these things that this came with a WLAN card and an SSD.
Wait, the wireless card was removed too?
Yes.
So it doesn't have a disk drive in it?
Correct.
So basically, even if you did get it resuscitated, you have to go buy an SSD to put in there.
I have an M.2 here somewhere that I could put it in.
Yeah, I'm sure, but yeah.
I don't think I have the 2280 that it looks like it is set up for, but I probably have, like, a 2242 that I could at least test with. And the WLAN card, I probably have one of those somewhere. It's just finding it.
I mean, they're probably not that expensive, and I think they are standardized at some point,
yeah,
right?
They're all the same size. As a matter of fact, you can pull those and replace them with like a 2230 or something like that SSD.
Something better supported?
No. Well, you could replace them with a hard drive is what I'm saying. But yes, you can also replace them with a more supported WLAN card. As a matter of fact, I think I could pull one of the ones out of my tablets that I have that have them removable and put it in here, and that would work just fine. But if I can't get it to turn on... Okay, I disconnected the battery again, and I hooked up power just to see what would happen. It's drawing 5 volts, but it is not turning on. I assume it needs the battery to complete all the connections. So what I'm probably going to end up having to do at this point, just to verify everything, is get a proper power supply instead of the USB-C power supply and get a replacement battery. And maybe a replacement CMOS battery. But the CMOS battery shouldn't prevent it from starting. It's just prevent it from having memory from start to start. Like memorizing or having the time remembered on the motherboard. Right?
Sure.
You know what? Does that interfere with UEFI? If it the CMOS might, battery and might not allow it to run?
That I'm not sure. Okay. Well, I have a voltmeter here, and I am going to see if power is making it to the battery. Hopefully without shorting anything. That would suck. Nothing. I don't... Okay, I'll just ground there. Nothing.
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 Man, how much did you pay for this?
$100.
And they said it had... It wasn't opened.
Well, they implied that it hadn't been opened. It's not like I specifically asked, hey, has it been opened?
Those bastards.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something Joel would do.
Right?
Yeah. Nope.
There's a reason why I don't. Well, it depends on what it is. Sometimes I'll buy something used. Like my G4 PowerBook.
Well, if I get something new and it's broken, I'm going to be a little upset and take it back. I got something that was used and broken specifically so I could, you know.
Right. Well, good luck. Joel, how's your Slackware system doing?
It's not.
What? What happened?
I put a Fedora 35 on it. I could not get Lilo to work.
Really?
Yep.
What was? And I couldn't. Was it UEFI? Was that the problem?
Yeah, I think that might be it. Maybe.
Oh, that's a bummer. I've been meaning to try, but I don't have a system to throw it on.
Yeah, it. You know, gotta keep in mind. That's kind of the one thing I'm just. Why is Patrick still going with Lilo? I know it's what he knows, but. You know, it really hasn't had a code release in a while, if I remember right. Everybody else uses Grub.
Right, Grub's been around for a. I mean, yeah, pretty much everything I use is Grub based. I know I used to install on some of my Slackware system, I used to install Grub. It's in the extra. Well, you said it's installed, though, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's installed. That's the other thing is. It's in the default install. So when I just went through and said Lilo, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's Why supposed
didn't,
to...
Didn't it give you a choice between Lilo and Grub?
No, it doesn't.
Oh.
It's Lilo, or the other version is eLilo, and that's eLilo is if it detects an EFI system.
Okay.
So, granted, I may have turned EFI off, which you can do, but... What happens when I just go through all the way, have installed the bootloader in the MBR just like normal, then it comes up and I get a Grub boot screen, but then it stops. And why I get a Grub boot screen that instead of Lilo, I don't know. But I don't want to run Slackware bad enough to mess with it, to be honest.
I do. I want to run it. I the only thing that's holding me back from installing Slackware is on this machine, on my laptop right here, is the fact that I don't want to, like, the window of time that I have to do it, like, the Slackware install is going to be easy, but to get all the stuff here that I use to do the show might be a little more work, and have to use Slack builds, which will make it a lot easier, but... I Slack builds is not yet up for 50, or it wasn't when I looked last week, and I'm probably sure all the stuff would work on there, but it's just I want to give it a little bit of time because I'm going to need some of that, all those audio tools that don't come out of the box with Slackware, and Mumble, we use Mumble, so all that stuff I'm going to have to build Or just install Flatpak, right? Or SnapD and for Slackware and use that. Oh, I don't even know if they have that available for Slackware. I guess you can build it yourself. There we go. Build it yourself. I don't know. I mean, I'm speaking a little out of ignorance here because it's been a while since I messed around with Slackware, but I know that a lot of some of this newer software, and maybe this is not the case, but SnapD and Flatpak and good portion of GNOME and some of it, the underpinnings of GNOME are integrated pretty heavily with systemd, which is not what Slackware uses, and makes it a little bit more difficult to get some of that stuff installed on a non-systemd system. Maybe that has changed a lot. I don't know. I haven't tried or invested too much time in it. It can be done, but it takes a little bit of finesse and figuring that out. And maybe it's documented somewhere. And that's the trade-off you get with Slackware, a phenomenally stable and fast system. Stable, secure, fast. But you don't have a lot of choices out of the box without compiling a lot of that other software you may want yourself, and or using something like Slack builds, or I don't know if SBO, Slack package manager, is still around. SBO, I forget which one it was. They used to have little repository.
Oh, like Slack's, yeah. Wasn't there something with Slack that was similar to apt, like their package management, I thought?
There was like two or three different systems. I think one was I don't know if SBO is still Slackware builds. Hold on. SBO package. Slack build. So that's okay. SBO package is Slack builds. There was another one like Slack or Slapt, SLAPT, or I forget which it was. Slack packages. I forget which one it was. There was a couple of them, but I think SBO is what Slack builds is the primary one now.
Yeah.
So Slack builds is not, I don't see them listing 15 yet. Hopefully soon. Oh my goodness.
Maybe.
The last changelog I see on their website is from April 17th.
Of last year?
Of 2021, yeah.
Don't hold your breath then.
I don't know. SBO pack. Wait. What's the difference between SBO package? So SBO package is a dialogue-based tool for Slack builds. I don't know. We'll see. There's always Arch, right? I love Arch, too. I'm running Arch on this other machine. Arch, Debian, Ubuntu, and Fedora. And SUSE. SUSE, baby. Oh, maybe that's what I should do. I get a new laptop and install SUSE on it. I don't know. I don't know if I mentioned this last week.
Are you planning on getting a new laptop?
You know what? I was just looking. I should get, like, it doesn't even have to be new. Like, a used one or refurbished or whatever.
Right.
Look around for. I would like something with like 8 to 16 gigs of RAM and something that is let me see here. Something with a hard drive that's Let's see, what do I have? Something that's a little more than 50 gigabytes. What do I, 75 gigabytes. A little more than 100 gigabytes, all right? I would like something with a little more than 100, you know, with more than 100 gigabytes. Right now, this one has, I think it's like 75 gigabytes, 80, maybe 80 gigabytes. So I keep running into the problem when I go to update the, or go to upgrade this between releases. I have to make sure I haven't thrown any flat packages or any extraneous stuff on here that might take up a few gigs of space that I don't use on a regular basis. Because then when it pulls down all the packages, I've had that problem where it's like, not enough space, not enough space. You need to free up a couple of gigs for all these packages that need to be up, you know, downloaded and updated. So, and that, this didn't, this originally had like 250 gig SD drive and it went bad. And so I had to replace it with the only other one I had laying around. And I just, you know, I could go out and buy a larger hard drive. I haven't done that. I could probably go out and buy another, you know, little more RAM for this thing. But I haven't done that either. But, you know, you come to the point where you're like, hey, if I'm going to buy a hard drive and some RAM, I'm almost to buying a new, cheaper, newer system that already has that much in there to begin with and a faster processor and everything. So, you know, I do the trickle down thing, get a newer to me system, trickle this one down to replace one of these other ones, trickle this one, that one down to replace this other one. Now my daughter's got a laptop to play Minecraft on.
Yep.
Which she's been begging me to do because she wants to play it on a computer. And she has a Chromebook, and I guess there's like an educational build that you can use. But it's like, I don't know. I didn't look into getting it installed on her system. It only goes on certain systems that you can set it up on. And but I had a laptop here, and this thing was, you know, I was going to say this laptop was old, but it's probably not much older than the other ones I'm using right here. And it was set up to run Minecraft, and she was using it for Minecraft about 2 years ago. But then she traded off to play on her phone, and now she wants to go back to that, and I just haven't cracked it out and updated it again. Damn kids and their needs. Oh, I was going to say, speaking of SUSE, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but maybe I did. But anyway, we can rehash it anyway. But SUSE has a nice little application that if you were using Docker desktop, Docker for desktop, and particularly for work, and you can't use it anymore because your business isn't going to shell out a license for it, Rancher desktop might be a nice replacement for you. Now, with Linux-based systems, you really don't need these extra tools, but on OS X, it doesn't have a Linux virtual machine on it, so you have to run one so that it can do the containers locally. And that's the big thing. Rancher Desktop has that. There's a couple other. Lima is another one. But Rancher Desktop is a little closer to what you might be used to from Docker Desktop. Lima is completely command line driven and looks pretty nice. I haven't tried it, but Rancher Desktop works pretty good, developed by SUSE. The only problem I have with it on OS X, and it's a known bug, is that if your system goes to sleep, it will probably lose its connection to the Docker socket and the Docker daemon, which is really weird. And the only way to fix that right now is to stop it or quit the application and restart it. I haven't found a way to just like something to do with like kicking the daemon or something, but and there's no restart to Kubernetes in there to restart that daemon. So you actually have to shut it down and bring it back up. And that takes like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, which is a little bit of a pain in the ass. But it's a small price to pay. I should really try Lima. I might do that. They're sending me a replacement, Joel. A replacement laptop. Oh, yeah. And it is
it's for quite, work?
Yeah. It's quite funny that what was it? So the guy I used to work really closely with back in the Chesapeake office, we were on the same team. He's been hitting me up the past couple weeks because they gave him a replacement laptop. He was up for a new one, and he had to go through a lot of turmoil because they didn't give him admin access, and typically we do have admin access. A lot of tools that we use and how we use them require like being able to install something and have the ability to do it at an admin level. And so he had to jump through some hoops before his manager finally got a hold of the people and said, look, you need to give this. This is approved. Do it. And he's been having some like weird issues with it, with permissions. Like Mac has a super secure fault encryption and stuff like that, where you got to be careful. And I noticed this too, like if you download I was just messing with some stuff, some scripts today, and working with some GitHub crap and trying to do some stuff that we're figuring out a process for. And so I was, instead of having to hop between branches, because once you get in the middle of a branch and you haven't committed your stuff and you're doing things in that branch, it's a pain in the ass to switch back and forth to another branch. So I was just downloading some of the files off of you know, GitHub from a different branch, and the Mac will set extended attributes on those files if you pull them down off the web, especially if you make it like an executable file, like a shell script. If you pull down a file. Now, this is only, there's ways to circumvent it, but I noticed this, there was this shell script that we have in for setting up our plugins, and I pulled that down, and I got lazy, and it's, you know, I downloaded from, you know, view it raw, download it, and it said plugin setup. And I'm like, I'm going to put the extension on there because I don't want to have to rename it. And once I put the .sh on there, it gave it a if you look at the permissions on the file, the last entry in the permission list is like usually read, write, X, RWX, RWX, RWX for owner, group, and owning group, and then everybody. And the permissions for everybody have an at symbol on there, I believe it is. And that is like Apple's extra extended attributes permissions, which designate that as something you pulled off the web. And if you try and run it, it throws that little dialogue that says, you can't run this, you know, it's because you pulled it off the web, unless you give like extra special permission that you can run this and do that. Anyway, oh yeah, so he's been complaining about that. And then my manager hit me up because he got a replacement laptop, and he needed to get his Kubernetes set back up again properly. And he was having a heck of a time because they didn't give him admin. They didn't give him an admin account. This is crazy, right? This is crazy. What they do, right? This is what they do. They're like, we can't set your account as an admin account, but there's an admin account on there, and we'll give you the password for the admin account so that if you need to install software, you can do that with the admin account. Well, all you need to do is with the admin account, You go into your the preferences, you click on your user,
yourself admin, right?
You click on that unlock button, you put in that admin password, and you click that little button that says user can administrate this computer, and boom, it's all done. So it's like, why?
I don't know, man.
But I am looking forward to the process of setting this up. Going through the motions of transferring my stuff.
It'll still have a touch bar.
Oh, no, no. This does not have a touch bar. Thank goodness.
Oh, is it an M1?
No. I don't know. It's, but the ones that the other, like my coworker, my friend got, did not have a touch bar. And I'm excited about that because
maybe
I do not
getting
want
M1s.
A touch bar. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I'll let you know. It's supposed to be here in a day or two. They shipped it out. I think it was. Yeah, they shipped that. The thing was, like, I looked at my email on Monday. Was it Monday? What day? Oh, yeah, it was Monday. They shipped it out yesterday. I looked at my email on Monday at 3 o'clock. And, like, I saw this, like, second email. They originally sent me the notification. They're like, hey, we want to replace your laptop. You're up for a replacement. You know, respond with your. With the address that we can send it to, back on January 26th, and I didn't even see it, and then I was out, and I just noticed it the other day. I responded to him, and she was really nice. She's like, it's fine, just let me know what like ports you need available to you, how you hook up to your monitor, and I can help you transfer any of your stuff over, get this thing set up for you, and all that, whatever you need. And I'm like, you know what? This is my fourth time doing this in the past 2 years because of the different laptops. I mean, I'm not going to need any help setting this up. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. The only thing I'm going to need is access to an admin account so that I can install software. I've always had admin and it's never been a problem. And what did I get, Joel, in response to that?
No admin.
I got a ServiceNow request.
Yay.
That went out to my manager soliciting permission to give admin access. So I said to my manager, as soon as I saw it, I sent him a Slack message, said, you need to go approve that admin access. I'm getting a new laptop. You need to go approve that admin access. Service request. And like 2 minutes later he's like, done. And I saw it, and then yesterday they sent it out, man. And I'm actually excited. I'm looking forward to it. Because I am so, like, I don't know. I'm hoping this is gonna run a little better.
You got an old hand-me-down when your other one broke, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, my biggest problem that I have with this thing is corporate. They install some stuff in there that you really can't change on it, because the self-service software, unless you disable it, but then if you disable it and they find out, that's like a no-no. So stuff like, the idle time for when it goes to sleep is like 5 minutes. And if I get up and I start to like make lunch or something, and then it goes to sleep, and then I got to bring it back up again. And it seems to take an inordinate amount of time to be able for it to bring it back from being asleep than it should. And it's kind of annoying because I go and I type in my password, and then it sits there, and then it's like, did I get the password wrong? Is it not doing anything? I have no idea what's going on. Sometimes it jiggles a little bit, and then I try and type in the password again, but then it actually took the password, but it didn't, and then it comes back on the screen, and it seems slower than it should be in those regards. That I find that very, very annoying. Also, the thing I don't like about their self-service software is that it doesn't play nice with Chrome or Firefox, particularly with regards to updates. And what ends up happening is, like, Chrome or Firefox will come in like, there's a new release of Chrome or a new release of Firefox. Time to update. Just click restart to update. Okay. And then, like, 2 hours later, it's like, there's a new release of Firefox. And then it's from self-service that is reverting the update because it's not the version that's in self-service. So it reverts the update back to the older version. And then sometimes you go and start that, and it's like, oh, you're using a profile that's for a newer version. And usually they're not compatible. So in order to not corrupt your profile, you're going to have to make a new profile. And then you lose all your shit from the old profile. So I'm sick of doing that because I like to use Firefox. But then... a coworker was going on about Vivaldi, and remember we had the Vivaldi developer on the show, the guy who was one of the CEOs and co-founders of Opera. He was on a show talking about Vivaldi, and I hadn't used Vivaldi in a while, so I installed that, and I think Vivaldi is still everything it was before, even better, but I think they removed the VPN client. Didn't they used to have a VPN client in that?
I don't remember.
Anyway, that's that. So Rancher Desktop for OS X, even though OS X can kiss my ass, but... I like it better than using Windows, that's for sure. Although, maybe now Windows is great with the Linux subsystem for Windows. You say it's the bee's knees, Joel, right?
Well, it works for what I need to do with it, but you know, I honestly don't do a lot with it, to be honest. But now I will say I probably will be making the switch to a Mac come my replacement time, and I'll have to kind of readapt some things. Now, granted, the editor that most of our team uses for Ansible and stuff like that is Visual Studio Code, and there's still a version that works on the Mac. But the nice thing is like things like Git and all that, Git Bash, if you want to call it the what Windows calls it, that all exists already. I mean, I don't even think you have to install anything. You just open up a terminal. So
on OS X?
Yeah.
I believe Git is in there. The only issue that you may run into with OS X is that it's not GNU, it's the BSD versions of software. So some of the switches, the options, and how sed and I think maybe awk. Some of those things may be a little different, but by and large, it's pretty much, if you're comfortable with Bash on Linux, you're going to have no problem in OS X.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see when that happens. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know that when I had my keyboard go out in it, they actually just sent a tech out and they fixed the keyboard. That was when I was over in the hotel. So,
do they have to replace the keyboard, or do they actually fix it?
They replace the keyboard.
How long did that take?
About half hour, 40 minutes or so.
He did it right in front of you?
Yep. Which shocked me. Usually they just sent you a new one.
Was this a guy who worked for your company?
No, he worked for, actually, I think he worked for Dell.
Oh, okay.
So.
On-site repair. That's pretty sweet.
Yep. They just fixed the keyboard right off the bank. So, but.
What was wrong with the keyboard?
Some keys were sticking or didn't work, you know, and I'm not the kind to attach an external keyboard to my laptop because one of the reasons is it basically puts the laptop too far from my vision. So I just can't see, if you know what I mean. So, but that's at least where we go with that. So, so that was replaced. Now, I think one thing I forgot to mention, I am trading my old phone in, and it's $150. They only give me $159 for my old phone. It's not incredibly old. I mean, at least it's running Android 12. 10
plus?
Yeah.
They're only giving you $160 for it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Better off either keeping it or selling it yourself.
True, but then I have to go through all that. You know, it's one of the things I hate. Like, here's a good example why I do not like selling things, especially like in a place like a Facebook Marketplace. When we were moving out of the old house, I said, posted my old grill in there, grill free. I took two pictures of it, posted it with it on Facebook Marketplace. Actually, maybe only one picture, but then it's free. But then people are like, can you take more pictures of the inside? It's free.
I'm either not you doing want it that. Or you don't.
If you want it, come get it. If not, pass on.
Oh, no. Like, when I was selling those PSPs, you know, I gave a good description. Right. I had good pictures up. And they're like, I want video footage of it running.
Right.
It's like, well, then I really don't want to sell it to you. I mean, thanks, but no thanks. I'll just sell it to the next person. Right.
Right. I mean, I guess they thought maybe it was, I don't know. They were trying to get something really, really great for nothing. And it's like, you know, it's an old grill. In fact, it started falling apart in a minute. You know, I'm kind of glad nobody took it because when I dragged it out to the curb, it started falling apart right away. But it's like, yeah, you know, And then amazing things, you know, that did surprise me. Like, I had some old bikes I just drug out to the curb, didn't want them anymore, wasn't going to sell them. Those things got snapped up quick.
That's probably what I would have ended up doing with the grill. Set it out at the collection, whatever collection right. You guys have, and then just be like, yeah, it's out there. Either you come get it or you don't. I don't care.
Right. But, yeah, it's... Is unlike you see now, unlike this place. Now see, here's the wacky thing too. You have to where I lived in Columbus, you actually when you have like something like that, like a piece of furniture or a grill or someplace something you just want to get rid of, and you call you had to line up what they call bulk pickup. Where I live now, I literally just drag it to the curb and they take it. It don't matter what day.
We used to have to line it up, but now it's just a specific day of the month. I think it's like the third Saturday or something. I can take bulk out, and that's useful.
We replaced Misty's dresser because she didn't like it because it didn't match the nightstands we just bought. So we bought the same thing, but just the same color as our nightstands. Drug the old one out to the curb, and they just took it, you know. It's like, you know, I have no complaint. And I think one of the reasons why is we actually had to pay for the trash pickup here. So in Columbus, we didn't pay for it. So they can do, you know, they kind of did what they wanted, you know, because they were going to get paid the same either way. So, you know, that's kind of why, you know, things are a lot more strict over there. But here it's like, you know, I can drag, you know, as long as it's not toxic or anything. I'll drag it to the curb and they'll take it. One thing they may not take, like, is say if you had an old mattress and you just drug it out the curb, unless you covered it in plastic, they wouldn't take it. Don't ask me what covering it in plastic actually achieves, other than maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because they're afraid they're going to get bed bugs or something. I don't know. Probably. But it's like, yeah, well, whatever. But I have no complaints about that where I live now. with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's interesting how different living here is. It's 4 miles away from my old house.
Money, money, money.
Yep.
Ay, ay, ay. Now, I think I know the answer for you, Joel. But Joe, did you play D&D?
Yes.
All right, so here's something. I played a lot of D&D as growing up, and I loved it. I played a bunch of other role-playing games.
I
didn't get
to play D&D until I was like 20, but I've played it.
And unfortunately, I wish I could play more D&D. I would love to. It takes a fair amount of time and investment, but I enjoy the heck out of it. And I never really got into watching people play D&D. I know that's kind of a big thing. There's Critical Role. I don't know if you ever watched that. But my opinion of Critical Role, not that it's bad, but if I was going to invest the amount of time to watch Critical Role, I would rather be playing D&D myself.
Sometimes it's hard to, find people to play with.
I know there's games that go on around here. It's just I don't have the time to participate with them yet right now because of all the kids and stuff. Anyway, I've always loved the D&D games, loved the video games, but the movies, videos, cartoons, whatever, have been rather hit or miss. Like the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon that was out when I was a kid, it was all right, but it wasn't D&D. You know, it wasn't. It had a little bit, but it was too much. It just wasn't what I was ever looking for. There was a Dungeons and Dragons movie that was out in the 90s that was all right, but still, again, not what I would consider D&D. Dungeon Master was a movie that was more like a compilation of genres that you could play in a fantasy role-playing game. There was I think in the 2000s there was a CGI Dungeons and Dragons animation, which wasn't that great. But anyway, I just learned the other day, because I don't really follow Critical Role, but The Legend of Vox Machina apparently is an animated series based upon Critical Role.
Campaigns.
Yeah. And it's on Amazon Prime, the first season. And I was like, I'm going to give this a try. And I was very impressed. This is probably the best D&D movie/series or anime video, whatever you want to call it, that I have seen yet. I don't want to spoil the first episode, but man, that first episode was like the first time I ever really saw them hit the monster perfectly. Like, it was really good. And so it was joyous. Now, it's not like this is up to you, but I would say not really kid friendly.
Yeah.
There's language, violence.
Of Critical Role. I've never actually, sat down and watched a whole episode. So I'm quite aware of it being violent.
And there's some, foul language in it. There's nudity. It's more geared towards adults, but it's really good. So if you get an opportunity, I would suggest checking it out. I'm 4 episodes into it, and I'm digging it. I hope that there's plenty more to come, and I hope that we're going to see a wide array of some of the monsters that appear in my favorite monster manual. But definitely the Legend of Vox Machina. And Vox Machina is the name of the adventuring group. They call themselves Vox Machina. But yeah. Anyway. So did you finish the Book of Boba Fett, Joe?
No, I still got that last episode. I still have not watched the last episode.
Oh, you're killing us, Joe. You're killing us.
I'm sorry.
You're killing us.
I saw it was awesome.
I thought it was, yeah.
Finale was awesome. That battle scene was kick ass.
It's good, Joe. You got to watch it, man. Pat says you got to watch it.
I will work on it.
I'll have it watched by next week. CGI Luke Skywalker was pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, they stopped CGIing Luke Skywalker, didn't they?
No.
Because he looked totally different, and they said that they were going to.
No. What it was is in the finale, season finale of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They did it. And then Disney found there was somebody, like a deep faker out there, that did it better. So he actually came and did it for them.
Okay. I thought they were just going to,
and he looks better.
Have somebody else do it now. Somebody take over the role.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in a few months, we've got the Obi-Wan's series kicks off. So that'll probably be all on Tatooine.
Man, everything's on Tatooine.
Yeah, can't they get off that damn planet?
It's like 1955 in Back to the Future. It's like why we're always in 1955, right?
Because that's what we have the sets for. We're not going to build another set.
Well, there's the truth there, but. I'm debating I have plenty of Bluetooth headphones, but I've been thinking about ordering the Pixel Buds at some point too. I don't know. Probably my biggest complaint about the wireless earbud things is every once in a while, I say I have two pairs that I will connect to my phone, and they will fight. Every once in a while they're in the case. So it's like maybe they just came out of contact with the charge pins in the case, so then they connect to the phone and then reroute my audio. Kind of a pain, but it is what it is on that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Pixel Buds have the same issue. But at least the one thing you can say about the accessories for the Google phones is they're not as, like, something that would normally be $300 for an iPhone is like $20, or something like that. Well, actually, I'm exaggerating on that. Like, I'm thinking more like $50 or $60, but it's like cases can for iPhones can be stupid expensive.
Yeah, they got you by the balls on those, don't they?
Some cases, yeah.
Now, is your case that you got for your phone an official case, or is it?
It is.
And that's why it's $20.
Probably. They have some other cases, like other companies. Like one of the ones I was thinking about was a SPIGEN or Spigen, I think. Has a case for it, but it's more like one of the OtterBox cases, so it's a little bit beefier than your normal case. I don't like the big beefy cases. I don't generally need the big beefy cases. I just need it so that if I'm walking between my office and the bathroom and I got my phone and it falls out, to protect it from hitting on the floor.
Or landing in the toilet.
Nah, I never had that problem with the phone. I'm more worried about the earbuds slipping out of my ear and falling in the toilet. Because that's probably more likely than my phone.
Earbuds in the toilet. Would you pick them out of the toilet then, Joe? Or would you just get new ones?
I probably would after disinfecting them.
Yeah. Just start Slackware on that phone.
Well, that's an interesting. You mentioned install Slackware, where I saw a post on XDA where they talked about installing Windows 11 on the Surface Duo phones. And I'm like, but why? They're like, well, in case I need a Windows machine when I'm out and about. It's like, yeah, that's what they make laptops. Cases for.
Yeah. How's that laptop coming over there, Joel?
It's not. I'm just now trying to disconnect all the connections on the inside and hold down the power button for 30 seconds. And then once I'm done with that, I'm going to rehook everything except for the battery and try and power it up and see what happens.
Yep.
I should be lifting weights right now.
Wow. This
Joel
is a week.
Be at the gym.
I probably should at some point. Snowstorm kind of screwed me up. I was getting into a good habit, but then we got the snowstorm and then this court duty stuff, which like last 2 days I got home and I'm like, what do you want for dinner? And it's like, you know, I didn't get, you know, because I had to drive home. Like, I didn't get home until like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And no one wants to wait for Dad to cook something, so we ate out.
What'd you eat?
Last night was McDonald's. I don't know why, but that's what we chose. Tonight it was just me and Luke getting food. So I got a Piatta, which is an Italian street food chain up here. Pretty much only up here now.
You know what I had, Joe?
Where'd you hit?
Take guess what I had.
Pho?
No.
Quarter pounder meat in your mouth?
Close. I had pulled pork sandwiches. I smoked a pork butt yesterday.
Nice.
I had it for dinner tonight. Tomorrow's going to be pulled pork nachos, baby.
That sounds actually really good. Pulled pork nachos?
Oh, my goodness, it is.
Now, I will say I did cook for a thing at church for Super Bowl Sunday. I made Dr. Pepper chili.
Oh, so you made it again. You were talking about it last week.
Yep. Yep, I did.
How'd that go?
I didn't win. But I'm disputing here. Now, the winner was a white chili, a chicken chili.
Okay.
And I'm like,
no, not
is that really
you, right?
Chili? Is that really chili? I guess it is. But
did you kick it over and then tell him try again?
Nah.
Go kill a cow.
Yeah, I think the problem is not everyone at churches is older, but a lot of times, like some events like this in the evening, young people, you know, we figured, oh, I've already been to church today. I'm not going to go back, you know. So a lot of the people there were older, and a couple of them said, your chili was good, but it was pretty hot. And I'm like, I didn't think it was that hot. It really wasn't that hot. It might, if my wife eats it, it's not that hot. Because all it had in it was, for heat-wise, was the chipotle peppers in the adobo sauce. They're not very warm, heat-wise. The rest of the stuff was, you know, chili powder. You know, that's to be expected. You should have that in the chili, you know. But some of the chilies, like one of the chilies tasted literally like spaghetti sauce to me. Like it had a spaghetti sauce base or something. And I'm like, I don't know about that one. But
right.
That sounds disgusting. Yeah, I would say one of the best ones, they didn't want to be in the contest. They just brought it anyway. And it was one of the best ones. We weren't allowed to vote for it. And I'm like, oh, goodness. But a lot, you know, so I will say some of the spicier ones did win, so that was a good thing. But it's like a lot of the real winner was good, but it was, you know, it was not very spicy. It had like a chicken, and he had sausage in it too, like little pieces of pork sausage cut up. You know, it looked like something like more like a smoked sausage of some sort.
That doesn't sound like chili either.
Yeah, corn. I'm pretty sure it had some chili powder of some sort in it, because there was a little bit of a chili flavor. But it was more like, for me, it tasted more like loaded chicken nachos than anything. I will say it was in one of my top favorites, because, you know, one of the reasons, like when I go to a contest like that, I don't look for like if your chili isn't special in some sort of way, then I have little to no interest in it, because, you know, just regular chili is good, but it kind of all kind of tastes the same. You know what I mean? You know, it's just like, what's different about your chili that makes it better than the others? And if it just tastes like chili, you know, as long as it doesn't taste like Hormel, you know.
Hormel.
Yeah, Hormel chili is the worst. It's like at the bowling alley, when you get anything that puts like a chili, like a chili dog or something, that's what they put on the freaking nasty. I will not eat that stuff.
How many different chilies were at this event?
We had about 12 different chilies.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got a little bit of each one, although I had to wait until all the people got theirs, and we actually ran out of trays. But I figured it out, and I got to taste most of them. But a lot of them were like, I tasted it, and I'm like, it's okay, but it's kind of bland, you know? There was no real kick to it, no spice, barely any flavoring. It's like, that's just meat and beans.
I don't know. Graybeard is asking if Cincinnati chili's real chili. I don't know, but I would eat the shit out of some Cincinnati chili, that's for sure.
Skyline chili is pretty good. It does have beans in it. But then traditional Texas chili doesn't have beans in it either, I think.
Some does, I like some beans doesn't. In my chili. Because I love beans.
What kind of beans?
Generally, I'll use kidney bean, red kidney bean. That's what I prefer in chili. Why?
Now, at home, my wife doesn't like kidney beans as much as I do, so I end up usually using pinto.
Oh, really? Because I eat, like,
man, I like black bean, too.
I'll eat pinto beans 3 weeks out of the month and have it for, like, two or three meals a week. I eat a lot of pinto beans.
Red beans and rice, man.
I haven't made red beans in a while, but I love pinto beans.
Mm-hmm.
I eat the shit out of some pinto beans.
At least I will say one thing. At least the Super Bowl wasn't a blowout, and I don't normally watch NFL, but
I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I saw the halftime show, but I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
The halftime show.
How were the commercials?
There was a, like, my favorite one was for the Flamin' Hot Doritos.
Is that the Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch or whatever it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's pretty funny.
I haven't seen any of the commercials. I was talking about, I haven't seen the Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch.
I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen them in the store. I haven't tried them, but
I want to try them. I'll tell you what. I love fucking Doritos.
Oh yeah,
I love Doritos.
Yep. Hey, have you ever done the one chip challenge?
No. I'm not gonna spend that kind of money for it. You know what? If I'm not mistaken, who makes the one? No. Not More Dancy doesn't make the one chip challenge.
No. More Dancy doesn't make it, but he did it. But
right. But the company.
Pocky. Pocky.
I think I had a brand of their, like, they sell their chips, but I mean, obviously they'll.
Right.
And I've had some of their chips, and they're pretty damn hot. But I don't know if I would.
Well, you must have, like, the ghost pepper ones.
Yeah, I think so. I had them when I was out in Colorado. They had some. I was able to find them out there.
Right. Yeah. But see, to me, like I have the discussion all the time, off and on, with different people. And for me, I don't mind if it's hot, like really hot, if it has a good flavor. If it's just hot to hot, hot for hot's sake, you know, I don't enjoy it. You know, if I'm going to go through that pain, it better taste good. It's like when you try those chicken bulldog Korean noodles, those twice hots that I sent you.
Right.
You know, those were very hot, but they had a really good flavor to them, too. And I enjoy those. You know, the key on those is you just got to keep eating them. You can't stop and pause in the middle. I still love that video of Lily trying a bite of those noodles.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Now, I think
Aaron did something similar, too.
Have you ever had pure capsaicin?
Capsaicin? No.
Yeah, that stuff is interesting. It is like no flavor, just pure heat.
Pure heat. Yeah, pure pain.
It wasn't as hot as I thought it was going to be. It was something like, you know, I was like, they're like, you know, be careful, don't touch your face, don't do this, you know, and I was like, I was expecting the worst. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to try a little bit. This is a good thing. It wasn't that bad. It was hot, but it wasn't that bad. Right. It's a nice way to add heat without adding like any kind of extra flavor that you might not want.
Right.
Well, that's the active ingredient in pepper spray, which is why they were telling you not to touch your face.
Right.
Which, that doesn't, you know, I will cut up jalapenos and habaneros and stuff like that, and then an hour later I'll go take out my contact lens. And it used to be I would jump around for a bit, and it would, like, really. Now I'm a lot more used to that. So
you're used to it.
Yeah, I'm used to getting that in my. Getting that in my eyes, not a good thing, but
yeah, it reminded me of. I think what was it? Was it the Alcatraz movie, the one with Nick Cage in it? I forget what that was called.
But, no, I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Thank you. Where the one guy, like, someone,
no,
like...
No, Under Siege. It was Under Siege 2 that you're talking about, where the guy
sprayed the pepper spray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's right, because one of the military guys just... Yeah, I think what was it? Was Eric Eleniak's character tried to spray him, and he's like, hey, don't bother me none. He took it from her and just sprayed it in his face, and...
Yeah. I knew what you were talking about, but
right.
I also knew you were wrong about which movie it came from.
Yeah. Not surprising. I wouldn't remember specific movies.
Alright, yeah, I guess we gotta start wrapping this up.
Yeah, I got a 5 a.m. change in the morning. Ugh.
All right, I tried it with an SSD in and still nothing. I mean, it should work without that anyway. So let me grab a WLAN card and see if it it shouldn't require that to
start
up.
Yeah, why would that?
Where would that seek?
Is the memory seated properly?
This is a Dell XPS 13, and the memory is welded or soldered onto the board.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So my guess is yes.
Oh, good luck with that. I'm gonna play us out.
That one you got there, Joe, is that's the one that's like got a real smooth, glossy outside to it, right?
Let me see. It's silver. Yeah, looks
yeah.
Pretty glossy.
I had an older one of the larger XPS ones that actually had a TV tuner built into it as one of my laptops at work, my old work.
That's TV something I haven't really tried to use well, in a though. While. It's a TV tuner. Yeah.
I've had a couple of them over the years, and I never got one working right in Linux anyway.
I have one working pretty well in Linux. I had one doing it for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Didn't the Myth TV boxes have TV tuners in them?
Wait, I forget what they used an external box on the Myth TV stuff.
Not mine. I had
Dan did.
My Myth box had the TV tuner was not a separate box. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what Patton Dan Fry used to use the same thing all the time. That's the HD Home Run. That's what I remember. It's HD Home Run. That's what I want. Yeah, that's what it was called.
Because I didn't have that. I had just a TV tuner on my Myth box. I'm trying to remember if the video card, I got a video card with the tuner on it, or it was a set. No, I'm pretty sure it was a separate card. I had a TV tuner for a long time. I got one way, 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 way back before Paige was born. Or right around when Paige was born, I think. And, yeah. Well, anyway, I'm going to play this out.
Mm-hmm.
Here is your promos and everything. We'll see you in a week. Good luck with that laptop, Joel. Joe.
Thank you.
Yes.
Come on. I hate when it does that.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. We talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Shut up.
Daddy, I have a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it cool young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to really watch almost any live TV.
I'm
behind on all my streaming stuff. Oh, yeah, I haven't had cable in a long time either.
I haven't had cable in over a freaking decade, man. Yeah, right? It's live TV. What is that? It's something you see when you're in a hotel or over to.
I do pay
visiting
for,
family.
For I pay for Fubo, mostly for my son and my wife, but who? Yeah, I just the only way. I mean, I could buy a HD Home Run. They're not that expensive. They're only like $150, but it's like, why would I do that? Because I just none of the, anything's local. I can probably stream a lot of it. I'd rather stream it because at least then I can stream it on my own time. But
okay, the WLAN and the SSD made zero difference.
Of course. Sounds like a motherboard then.
Yeah, it very well could be the motherboard. But I should be able to hopefully track that down on there. I mean, I haven't done it before, but it'd be fun to try.
Good luck. I hope to hear good results next show. It's like Joe's
open. I got a lot of stuff to get done between now and next week with the school board and all that.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, I got a 5 a.m. change in the morning, which that's only lasts an hour. So I'll likely after we for are successful or unsuccessful and rolled back, which is very possible. Hopefully not, but then we will take a nap. But I missed some things too, I don't mind taking vacations, but I like more planning for it. And for the court stuff, that's not planning, you know, because basically for a 2-week stint until they call you, you really can't plan much, you know, during the day anyway. So but it's better than what they used to do for municipal court. They used to make you go sit down there for the entire 2 weeks. You had to go in every day. But the case I was on this week was the very first trial they had all year so far. Most of the stuff in municipal gets settled. So
I
sounds
night,
like Joe's lifting weights, it sounds like.
Nope. I'm putting the plastic cover back on a tablet.
Oh, there you go.
So it's all over today, huh?
Yeah, it was a in municipal court, so it was a misdemeanor.
Oh.
So it was a domestic assault, domestic violence and assault charge. And it was only her stuff in there. There's no witnesses or anything. So we found him not guilty. There was too much of the doubt that he actually did it. It has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. If you have a reasonable doubt, then he's not guilty. The way it works. Getting a new phone tomorrow.
That's cool. You get one for me too.
Do you need one?
No, my phone's working pretty good.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, not much. I got that, I picked up that Dell XPS 13 that won't turn on.
Do you want to save it for the show?
Yeah.
I don't want you to Oh shit! It's already 8:37. Damn. What am I doing? Let's start this show.
I figured you guys had already started.
No, I was waiting for you. We wanted to, but Joel was like, "Let's just do it. Who cares if Joe comes?" And I'm like, "We can't. We gotta wait for Joe."
I would never say that.
It sounds like Joel.
Yeah.
No, I would never say that.
Then he used the F word three times, and.
No, the only person that brings that out of me is freaking Rich.
Because he works at it. I don't know. I've gotten an F you, Joe, out of you before.
Nah.
It's not very often, but it does happen.
Let's start the show, baby. This is 9:43. So let me double check that, I'm pretty sure. I want to second guess myself. So, yep, not. Man, happy Valentine's Day. 9:43.